Thank you, Open the Book team. That slide is actually not an inaccurate picture of what this area would have looked like where this happened. It's by the Sea of Galilee, and it's sort of in the middle of nowhere up there. Lots of little fishing villages and things like that, but not loads of people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Holy Spirit, Jesus, good morning. Thank you so much for this day. We just pray that these words would be yours, and we'd leave here eager to apply them. Amen. Start with a poem. Well, it was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer felt it was hardly worth his while to waste a lot of time on this old violin, but he held it up with a smile. Sure ain't much, but it's all we've got left. I guess we ought to just sell it too. So who's got a bid on this old violin? Just one more and we'll be through. And then he cried, one, give me $1, who'll make it two? $2, who'll make it three? $3 twice, that's a good price, but who's got a bid for me? Raise up your hand now, don't wait any longer, this auction's about to end. Who's got four, just $1 more to bid on this old violin? Well, the air was hot, and the people stood around as the sun was setting low. I love singing in a low voice like that. And the sun was setting low. And from the back of the crowd, a gray-haired man came forward, and he picked up the bow. He wiped the dust off of that old violin, and he tightened up the strings. And then he played out a melody, pure and sweet, sweeter than the angels sing. And then the music stopped. And the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, he said, now what am I bid for this old violin? And he held it up with the bow. And then he cried, one, give me 1,000, who'll make it two? 2,000, who'll make it three? 3,000 twice? Well, that's a good price, but who's got a bid for me? And the people cried out, what made the change? We don't understand. And then the auctioneer stopped. And he said with a smile, it was the touch of the master's hand. Now, you know, there's many a person with a life out of tune that is battered and scarred with sin, and they're auctioned so cheap to a thankless world, sort of like that old violin. And then the master comes. But that foolish crowd, they never understand the worth of a soul and the change that's made by the touch of a master's hand. Speaking of stringed instruments, I've played in many rock and metal bands over the years. Things you learn about your clergy. And I could say that I have seen many a rubbish guitar sound incredible in the hands of a very talented musician. See, a lot of times it's not just about the condition of the instrument, it's about the musician who's playing it. It's not just about the condition of the instrument, but the skill of the musician who's playing it. Jesus Christ, in our story today, wants them to have a touch of the master's hand, wants them to see what God can do through them. He wants to take them on an incredible adventure. So here they are. Maybe you've wondered, gosh, I don't have what it takes. Maybe your coach at school wants you to be this position on a team. Your boss at work has this project they want you to do. Or your spouse has something they want you to do around the house. Or all kinds of things. Or maybe you're looking around at so many people in our world today that are so hungry or so thirsty or in such big needs. And you think, gosh, do I have what it takes to do this? I don't know if I have what it takes to do this. This is all I've got. This is really all I have. I don't know. Our new family that's here today, they've got a new baby in hand. And we see this a lot when we work with baptizing kids. They're like, oh my gosh, this is 24/7, 365. This is full on. It's a whole different change in life. And we meet many young parents that think, gosh, do I have what it takes to do all that, to be all this kid needs? What Jesus wants to say to you today and to me, I'm just saying what he says to me as well. It's not just about what it takes. It's about who it takes. And who it takes is me. So here we are in the middle of nowhere, just around all these fishing villages, and the sun's going down, Sabbath's about to start, all the shops would be closing. And what's funny is in our story last week, when Jesus sends the people out, he would have sent them out, and they would have come back, they would have healed the sick, Through them, they would have seen the sick healed, they would have kicked out demons, they would have done all kinds of incredible things. And yet, here we are again. He's about to ask them to do something huge, and we're wondering how it's going to happen. It's like in the Old Testament, you know, the book of Exodus, when God parts the Red Sea and the whole people of Israel walk through the Red Sea. That's amazing. You know what I think is more amazing about that story? 72 hours later, the people are wondering what God could do with water. Like, we need water, as if the guy that just parted an ocean doesn't know how to handle water. But we're like that, aren't we? Sometimes when we feel down or we're not sure if we have what it takes, we forget some of the great stuff that's happened to us. Now, in this story, Jesus, he's the God who in Genesis says, let there be light, and there was a universe. Surely Jesus Christ could say, let there be food, and there'd be food, and they'd all be fed, and it'd be amazing. But Jesus is thinking, where's the fun in that? Yeah, I could snap it into being, and we'd have a buffet, and it'd all be wonderful. But where's the fun in that? He wants to take them on an adventure. And the disciples are right, and Jesus doesn't challenge us. It's a huge crowd. To mess with the math just a little bit, it's 5,000 men, but many of them would have had wives. Each one had one wife. And so that's about 10,000, and then they might have had kids. You have up to maybe 15 or 20,000 people here in the middle of nowhere. Sun's going down, shops closing. It's sort of like you had 20,000 people having a massive picnic all day on the Ashtead Common and then rocking up to the Tesco on Craddock's at about 10:30 at night. How is this going to work? And the disciples are like, there's so many people, and all the shops are closed. We don't have enough money. How are we going to do this? And Jesus looks right at them in Luke's version of the gospel, and he says, you do it. He says, you do this. And it's the thing that's interesting about this is it's the one miracle of all the many miracles that Jesus did, the many of them. This is the one miracle that is in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all record this. And it's not that God feels this need to tell the same story four times. Everyone wants to bring something a little different out of it. So, for example, in a couple of the Gospels, they point out that Jesus Christ says, divide the people into groups of 50. Now, that's significant. Luke especially says this, and Luke is a doctor. He likes details. So why would we get this 50 in there? Well, I mentioned that in Genesis, it's this God that says, let there be light. Well, in Exodus, not long after that story of parting the Red Sea, they're in the wilderness, and God's going to say through Moses, divide the people into groups of 50, and watch how we distribute all this food for them. Another group of people from Israel, also in a wilderness, also in the middle of nowhere, right about to watch God do something amazing. The people in his audience then, in this story, would have caught that. Well, they would have caught that. In Mark's gospel, Mark even points out that Jesus told them to sit down on the green grass. And God does not waste words. I might think, well, why on earth does he specify that the grass is green? Because the grass is green. What color is grass on your alien home world? It's green here. No, he says green grass, as in green pastures, as in Psalm 23 that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack, because he leads me to green pastures. He takes me beside still waters. That's a picture of a shepherd who cares about his sheep and wants to provide for them, like this shepherd is about to do in this story. And his audience would have caught that. So in Luke, he says, you feed them. Even today, we're faced with a huge need. We might see a lot of people that are hungry or poor or needy. And we were, how are we going to do this? We like to say things like, oh, you know, maybe the government should do this, or the government should do that, or let's write our MPs, or write our MPs. The government really should sort this. Or even we'll say the church should do this, the church should do that. Let's write the pastors, the church should do this. Or let's raise a collection, let's get into the shops and see what we can do. Nope, Jesus is not having it here. He looks right at them and says, you do it. He says, you do it. And that's our challenge today. See, what Jesus Christ wants to do, he wants to take them on an amazing adventure. He wants to show them what he could do. And I love the smirk on their actor's face when they start to tell the story. I honestly think, as Jesus is trying to tell them to do this, he's sort of got this little smirk in his head thinking, you guys have no idea what's about to happen. You have no idea what you're about to watch me do through you if you'll just do this. He wants to take you on an amazing adventure to trust in him and watch what he does. We like to think of little things, things as small as like a mouse or as quick as a click. I'll close with a story about what happens with an average person who wonders if he has what it takes, doesn't think he does. This is Will Novak. This is recent, actually. So here's Will Novak. He's just a Joe Boggs. He's an average guy. He has a beautiful, brand new baby daughter, like the people that we've come for baptism this morning. And he has a lovely wife. And he's got this brand new starter home. And you all know what a money pit a starter home can be or a new house can be. You feel like you're signing off your whole paycheck to the new this or the new that or news. He's really trying to make ends meet. And he's just an average guy. And one day, Will gets an email to a Will Novak. Now, the thing is, it's to a different Will Novak. It's the wrong Will Novak. But he gets this email. And it invites him to this absolutely bizarre ski party in Vermont, which is on the other side of the United States. Will is in Phoenix. This party is going to be in Vermont, on the other side of the U.S. Now, he doesn't, you know, like the funny thing about British pessimism. We love to take every new idea and shoot it down with all the reasons why it won't work. What Will does, he's like, why not? And he thinks, gosh, I'm just an average guy. I'm just a Joe Bloggs. I live in a desert. I don't ski on mountains or snow. I don't ski on mountains or snow. I don't even own any ski gear. I think I have a wrestling outfit, but that's about as athletic as it gets. And I've got this brand new baby that's costing us a lot of money, and I've got this house that's costing us a lot of money. I can't justify buying plane tickets to go across the country and do a sport I don't know how to do, and I'm just this average guy, and I don't know if I have what it takes to do this. I don't know if I have what it takes to do this. I don't think I do. But if you'll have me, I'll come. And they're like, you know what? We realized our mistake. We've sent this to the wrong Will Novak. We don't know you either. But you sound awesome, so get out here. Why not? And Will says, now you always have to be very safe on the internet. So Will says, now I don't know you, and just in case you think you're going to hurt me, I want to let you know that I was a karate champion in second grade. And here's a photo to prove it. And then the guys say, you know what? That's so awesome. We'll make that the t-shirt for the party. There we go. Oh, can we back it up one? We'll make that the t-shirt for the party. Because in these days of toxic masculinity, what says real men like a bunch of guys on skis in matching t-shirts? And then he needs money. And he says, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get. So he starts asking. He starts a GoFundMe page. And they raise nearly $4,000 for this. 3,000 of those dollars obviously went to help fix up his house and to help take care of his baby. But everybody hears about this. It goes viral. So when he gets to the airport, the rental car company says, this is such an amazing story of you just willing to give whatever it takes to do this. So we're going to upgrade your rental car to a Maserati for the weekend. And then this local beverage company says, this is really cool that you've come out here. So we'll make sure you've got enough beverages for your trip. Now, this is a family service, so I hesitate to point out that that's free beer, but it's important because Will Novak doesn't drink. So now he's got gifts to take to everybody at this party. He's got a contribution to make to the party. And the ski resort jumps in on this, and they say, you know what? This is such an amazing thing. Anybody that gets a photo or a selfie with Will Novak will give you free swag from the ski resort. So they queue up to do that on the ski resort that day. And if that's not enough, the local fire brigade says, wow, you guys are awesome. You're so cool. While you're here, we'd love to show you around town. We'd love to show you some of our favorite spots here in town on our fire truck. You can shut the slides. And that's just because a very average guy with a young wife and a new baby and a house that's falling apart was given an invitation to an adventure. And he says, I don't know if I have what it takes, but if you'll have me, I'll come. And Jesus Christ wants to take us on an amazing adventure. That's what this story is about. Yes, he could say, let there be food and there be food, but he wants to do that through people. One of the amazing adventures he wants to take us all on is a relationship with him. I say this a lot, and I'm closing with this. I could sit in a McDonald's every Sunday, and that's not going to make me a Big Mac. Might make me look like one, won't make me a Big Mac. Just like I could sit in a church every Sunday, and that won't make me a Christian. Having a relationship with Christ, becoming a Christian, it's a relationship. It's a decision you make. We look at our lives and we look at all the things that we've done that we shouldn't have done or that we should have done and didn't do. And we genuinely say, God, I'm so sorry for this. Can you please help me? And we realize that Jesus Christ, God himself, died on the cross to pay the price for that. And because he's God, he rose again. He's up in heaven making an amazing place for us now. And we can live a life that's so thankful for all he's done with us. It's a gift of grace that he gives. It's a decision we do have to make, though. And if you've not made that decision, why put it off? You can make that today. Talk to somebody. Talk to somebody in our prayer room after the service. Talk to one of our regulars here. We would love to talk to you about that decision you can make to start the amazing adventure of a personal relationship with Christ that lets the guy that created all this beautiful scenery around you, you can call him Father. It's incredible. If you know him, if you know Jesus, he wants to take you an amazing adventure of what he can do through you. Of what he can do through you. I've said this before. If, say, BMW or Audi were to start giving away free cars tomorrow, I guarantee you'd tell all your friends about it, wouldn't you? Well, what's your favorite car? What's like the best car you can get? Huh? Saab? A what? Lamborghini? Okay. So if Lamborghini decides, you know what, for Monday only, free Lamborghinis for everybody. Oh, you'd be all over this. You'd be telling all your friends. A relationship with Jesus Christ is better than any free car you could get. It's better than any free whatever you can get. It's a free relationship with the God of the universe who cares more about you than we could ever imagine. And if it's such amazing news and it's so exciting, why don't we tell people about it? I always say these doors to this church, they're entrances here, but you know what? They're entrances. They're not just exit doors from this building. Those doors aren't just the exit doors of this building. They're an entrance to a community that we really want to reach with this love of Christ. And if you don't feel you have what it takes to do that, or I don't know if it's me, Jesus Christ could say to you, you know what? It's not just about what it takes. It's who it takes. And who it takes is me. And you have me. So let's do this. Your coworkers, your colleagues, your friends at school, anyone. I started with the poem. I'll end with a poem. This is called You're the Only Jesus. So if not in you, I wonder who. If not in you, I wonder where. Where will they find the one who really cares? If not from you, I wonder how will they find the one who heals a broken heart and gives sight to the blind? If not you, I wonder who. Who will show them love and love alone that could make all things new? If not from you, how will they learn there's one who'll trade their hopelessness for joy in return? Because you are the only Jesus that some will ever see. You are the only words of life that some will ever read. Do they see in you the one and who is all they'll ever need? Because you are the only Jesus that some will ever see. Let's be that Jesus to the people God's put us around this week. Amen.